Good morning. It's about time for us to begin our service this morning. We're going to take care of something else real quick. We have a special something brought to my attention, a special request. We try and honor the accomplishments of our people, and it was brought to my attention that this morning in Sunday school, two of our members were unable to come up and receive the goodness of our local because they had a birthday this week. And we didn't want to deprive them of the opportunity. Well, it's good to have our brother Bill back home for a while. I know he spends most of his summers traveling and doing work in different places, and but he's back here now for a while, and I've asked that you would give him your careful and your prayerful attention.
Thank you, Bob. Well, I think I qualify as a snowbird now. This summer, I had the privilege of attending services in Missouri, quite a few services, and during the reunion there was a scripture that was brought out that I thought quite a bit about. The scripture was in Isaiah, the 55th chapter of Isaiah, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. I was thinking that scripture was brought to us during that reunion and during the sacrament service that Sunday morning at the Missouri reunion. I was thinking about that scripture. And some things took place there at the sacrament service that made me think also about the thoughts in that scripture. And I saw some things take place during that sacrament service. And and some of my thoughts, I found out quite definitely were not the thoughts of the Lord. I'm sitting there watching the sacrament service, and the emblems are being passed. And I see the emblems offered to everybody, and I see a few people refuse the emblems. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, there's their reason for refusing those emblems are good to a certain degree, to a certain extent. They're obeying one commandment of God and disobeying another one by refusing the emblems. And I'm thinking about that, thinking, well, personally, I don't feel like partaking of the sacrament emblems is breaking a law of the Lord because one of the things that it says in the first chapter of Luke, I believe the reason that some people refuse the emblems are based on what it says what it says there in the first chapter of Luke in the 15th verse. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And there's lots of other scriptures that tell us pretty much the same thing, that people would refuse the sacrament wine because it's strong drink, in their opinion. And they don't believe that they should partake of that. And I'm thinking that they're breaking another commandment, because we are commanded to partake of the emblems. It's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. And so here's my human thought and reasoning, is that the Lord is not going to be pleased with us. Because as a body of that group of people, I'm thinking to myself, the Lord is not going to be pleased with that. And as you, most of you know, I'm sure, that during that service, the Lord did speak to his people. And there were several young men spoken to under the influence of the Spirit and called into the ministry. And I'm thinking about that, and it made me realize, well, most definitely, that my thoughts were not the Lord's thoughts that day. And I'm thinking the Lord is going to be upset with his people. But it made me realize one of the things that is so very important to you and to me, to each one of us in this church. We are commanded to strive for unity, but we will never have a unity of all of our ideas and our thoughts. Let me read to you what it says in the 4th chapter of Ephesians. In the 13th verse, Paul says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And I thought about those words, unity of faith. And I thought about those things that transpired that morning, that Sunday morning. And about other men that have been called into the ministry that we can see very definite differences in things that we believe, each one of us. There's no two people here in this congregation right now that believe identically the same, exactly the same in everything. It just isn't going to happen. But I'm convinced that the thing that is important to us is that we strive for this unity of faith. Not a unity of everything that we believe and every little piece of every little idea always has to be the same. And if somebody doesn't want to partake of the sacrament emblems, is that wrong? I don't know. But I do believe with all my heart that what is correct is that we need to strive for a unity of faith. Not a unity of all of our ideas being the same. When our quorum was filled, the quorum of apostles was filled, some of those men who were called believe in some different things than maybe than you and I believe in. I believe that the unity of faith and the unity of belief was met. That the things that were important for our salvation, they believe that we believe the same. Each one of us and each of them believe the same things. But we know that there's things that they do believe, little points that might be differences in different books that they believe in, the inspired version. And although it's something I don't believe in, I know that some of those men that were called do believe in that. And yet the Lord still called them. There's not a doubt in my mind that those men were called of God. And I think each one of you believe that too. But I've come to the realization that it isn't important that we believe all things identical. Each of us are going to have differences of opinions. And some of us, from time to time, might be offended, might take offense to differences of opinions that other people have if they're not the same as ours. And I believe that is wrong. I believe that if we strive for the unity of belief, the unity of faith that Paul talks about here, and recognize that we need to learn to accept the differences of opinions of all mankind. This life is filled with adversity that we're going to face each and every day of our lives. And there will be differences of opinion in our church until Christ comes. I'm convinced of that. I don't think we will ever be shown or given a knowledge of, is it wine or is it grape juice? Is it fermented or non-fermented? I don't think we will ever know until Christ comes. And even then, I don't think it makes a bit of difference. How we deal with it. How we deal with one another is what we're going to be judged on. That's what's important, is how we deal with those differences in our lives. We need to learn to be able to love one another and disagree with one another on the trivial things and not let it affect us and not let it affect our love one for another and our love for the Lord. Jesus, his life, when he was here and he showed us in the examples that he gave us, his life was absolutely filled with adversity. Adversity that you and I probably will never have to face anything that drastic, that radical. Our lives probably won't be required of us like his was. But we can see through his examples how he dealt with adversity. And this is something that each one of us need to work on. I know that I need to work on it in my life, because I can see where that's one of my greatest problems that I recognize in my life, is that I need to deal with the adversity that is going to be before us each day of our lives, before me, and deal with it like Jesus dealt with it. And a couple of very good examples is one of them you're familiar with, when Jesus was in the garden and Judas came to betray him. Jesus' statement to Judas was, he called him friend. Would you be able to do that? That would be a difficult thing. I don't know that I could do it. I'd like to think that I could. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the example that he showed us, the life that we need to live, is making a statement like he made, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I know I need to work on that in my life, and I pray that the Lord will help me to overcome those weaknesses. And perhaps it might be a common weakness that each of us have. There's a scripture in 2 Timothy I'd like to read. Verse 12. Chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Do you suffer persecution in your life? Maybe we're not living godly enough. You know, suffering persecution is certainly nothing that we would look forward to, at least to the adversity that we would have to face. But think about it, if we're not suffering persecution, perhaps we're not letting our light shine quite bright enough. And in the first chapter of James, in verse 2, he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There again, I have difficulty in my life counting it a joy when I fall into temptation. But I know that there is no temptation that is going to be put before us, before you or me, that we cannot deal with if we have the Spirit of God with us to help us through those things. I know that I've tried dealing with them myself and made a miserable mess out of it. And probably each one of you have had similar experiences. When you try it on your own and leave the Lord out of it. But you've also, I know that you've had experiences when you've had the Lord with you. And you've been able to overcome situations, temptations, because you've allowed the Spirit of the Lord to be with you and to help you through those situations. when we have adversity in our life, I pray that we can look at that adversity as an opportunity, that we can let the Lord help us to overcome the problems and the trials that are going to face us every day. I think it was wrong that we asked the Lord to deliver us away from, to keep those temptations and the trials out of our lives, because He just doesn't work that way. The Scriptures are full of examples, and we can see it in our lives. I know you've experienced it, that this world is not a fair world. We are going to be faced with, every day of our lives, we're going to be faced with things we don't like to deal with. Difficult situations. I hope that each of us recognize there is no way we can deal with those things by ourselves. We've got to have the Spirit of God with us to overcome those things in our lives. You cannot do it alone. Another scripture I'd like to read is in First Peter, the fourth chapter. In the 8th verse, he says, "And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins." I use the word love here in place of charity, because I believe that's what it's saying is if our love is great enough, it can hide a multitude of sins. Sometimes I think I need to rely on that a little too much, and hope that I have a strong enough love that will cover the multitude of sins that are in my life. One of the most damaging things in our life can be anger. And we need to replace that anger with love. The anger is something that can come naturally. It's what the natural man was designed. We can get angry very easily and very quickly. But with the help of God, we can overcome it. We can look at that as an opportunity to overcome and to let the Lord help us to replace that anger with love. Now there's a scripture in James that tells us in the second chapter, in verse 10, it says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." You know, I've thought about that, and I'm thinking, well, what if I died when I was angry with somebody in a car wreck or something, and somebody cut me off and I got mad and something happened and all of a sudden I died and that sin was against me. I was guilty of that sin. Even though I might have been forgiven of all others at that particular time, I gave in to weakness. I believe that this is talking about if you have accepted something in your life that isn't right and have allowed it to stay there, a sin that is something you're willing to hide and just set aside in your life and ignore it. If you want to harbor anger against somebody that you think you're justified, I think that qualifies. I think that's something you need to learn to let go of. And I believe this is talking about something that is in your life that you have accepted. And I hope none of us are guilty of that. I hope that each day that we, in our prayers, that we ask for forgiveness and for a knowledge of a situation like this, a sin that we might be guilty of, that the Lord will help us to recognize that in our life and overcome it. You know, I saw a church marquee while I was traveling this summer that I thought was pretty interesting. It said, "You preach Jesus Christ. Use words if you have to." And I thought, you know, that really does say a lot. It tells us we are supposed to live our lives so that people can see that we believe in Jesus Christ, that we preach Jesus Christ by the way that we live. And hopefully we don't have to use words to convince somebody that we're a Christian. I'm glad that God's thoughts were not my thoughts and His ways were not my ways. But I pray that I can turn my life around to where my ways are His ways and my thoughts are His thoughts. And I know that one way we can do that is to try just a little bit harder each day to look for things in our lives that are not pleasing to God. Ask God to reveal those things to you and pray for His guidance and direction in your life that you can overcome those things, that you can overcome the adversity that is going to be there tomorrow, next week, and throughout each day of the rest of your lives. It'll be there. How are you going to deal with it? Are you going to preach Jesus Christ by the way you live? I pray that each of us will each day lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. We are going to close our service this morning with number 300. Number 300. Kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, we are truly grateful that we have this opportunity, Lord, this morning to hear Your Word preached. I thank You for the message that You caused to be brought to us, and I pray, Father, that we would have that love that comes from You for You and for our fellow man. Father, I pray that You would help us to see clearly with Your eyes, knowing that Your thoughts are above our thoughts. Father, I pray that you'd be with us the rest of the day, that you would guide and direct our conversations, that you would that your Spirit would be upon us to strengthen and edify us and to prepare us to be able to go out and to be able to face the world and its temptations, the adversary and his designs for us. Father, I do pray that you bless those who are scattered and isolated, who don't have this opportunity to meet together, that you would strengthen them and comfort them. I pray for those who are traveling, and I ask these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.